There's more plea activity in the Bateman case and a recent lawsuit that has been filed against the Kingston Polygamy Group. We'll talk about that next on Polygamy, What Love Is This? We recently released a follow-up segment on polygamist Samuel Bateman's sex abuse case, and since we taped that program, more activity has taken place in the courtroom about the case. And so here with Earl Erskine, we want to bring updated information to our viewers. Thanks, Earl, for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. This is quite the story we'll tell here.
Like you said, it's a little hard to get through some of this, isn't it? There's the link on the screen that you can go to as our viewers to learn about the latest activity with Bateman, his many wives, and the illegal sexual activity that he had with his underage brides. Now, if you watch our program much, you are aware of 46-year-old Samuel Bateman, the most recent wannabe FLDS leader who was arrested by the FBI and accused of using his influence as the leader to marry and sexually abuse 10 underage girls he took for child brides. Now, the latest information concerns the adult wives who took plea deals instead of fighting the charges alongside Bateman. So we quote our first quote from the article.
Yeah, it says, Brenda Barlow became the third wife of Samuel Rapalee Bateman, a former leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to change her plea to guilty Wednesday afternoon. Bateman married more than 20 wives between 2019 and his arrest in 2022. That's a busy person, huh?
Yeah.
At least 10 of them were children at the time he married them, according to the FBI investigation. 9 of the child brides were taken into custody when he was arrested in Colorado City, Arizona, but his adult wives kidnapped them from Arizona Department of Child Services custody and fled to an Airbnb in Spokane, Washington, where federal troopers found them a few days later. Barlow is one of 8 wives and 10 followers indicted alongside Bateman for crimes ranging from kidnapping to engaging in sexual conduct with minors. She initially pleaded not guilty on February 7th, along with 4 other of Bateman's wives, to 11 counts of kidnapping, transporting a minor for sexual activity, transferring obscene materials to minors, and more.
Quite a bit going on there in this situation. The presiding judge said that Brenda Barlow regularly watched and often engaged with Bateman as he had sex with his underage wives, or he forced them to watch him have sex with his adult wives. Mm. It was just one great big messy mess there. One girl was as young as 9 years old when she was taken as a wife and was, according to court documents, forced to strip naked and watch Bateman have sex with Brenda Barlow and others when she was only 10. Barlow initially entered a not guilty plea, but has since changed it to a guilty plea for her actions. More information now from the article.
Like Marona Johnson, Brenda Barlow pleaded guilty to 1 count of conspiracy to commit tampering with an official proceeding in exchange for the rest of her charges being dropped. After Bateman was arrested in 2022, he sent messages to all of his followers ordering them to delete their accounts on Signal, the messaging app they used to communicate, and get rid of any other evidence. Barlow hid Bateman's tablet and the keys to his trailer in the mountains near their home in Colorado City. While Barlow didn't participate in the overt act of kidnapping, according to court documents, she was involved in coordinating the plan and drove the babies some of the women had with Bateman to California to evade law enforcement in accordance with Bateman's wishes.
A lot of bad things going on there. Brenda Barlow will be sentenced on May 13th at 3 p.m. in Arizona Federal Court. Another wife is set to take a plea deal, which will leave Bateman with 6 followers going to trial with him on September 10th. Now, I just read a little blurb this morning, and there was no information with it that he may be taking a plea deal now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that. And as always, we will continue to bring updates as these court cases occur. And again, how can we look at polygamy as being a holy high and holy principle, like they say, and a command from God, when we observe so many illegal behaviors that come from nearly every Mormon polygamy group. It's not enough to say Mormonism is right, but it's the people that's wrong. Every religion is made up of people. Besides that, God's true gospel has the power to change people to better behavior. It doesn't make them worse. His true gospel doesn't produce criminals. Now, we have another court case coming up, and it was in the news recently about the Kingston Polygamy Group, another group with a horrible history of abuses, illegal activities, members cheating and going to prison, incest, deceivers, and false prophets. The Salt Lake Tribune published an article on March 2nd of 2024 about this recent lawsuit. Now, since I was born and bred in the Kingston Polygamy Group, I can verify many of the experiences, the doctrinal dogma, and forceful means that they use to keep members under shame and guilt, fear, and forced loyalty. The wrath of God is their tool, always threatening the people to obey their leaders or God will get you. Of course, those who are raised under that kind of idea about God will grow up with the false fright of God rather than a correct love and reverence for Him. Their negative tool is the wrath of God. Their promising tool is the serpent's lie. You will be like God.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd even want to be like a God who's so wrathful.
True.
I don't know if they've put that together. Anyway, Mormonism promises the reward for endurance is godhood, a celestial harem for the men, and eternal pregnancy for the goddess wives. We quote from the March 2nd Salt Lake Tribune article about the lawsuit against the Kingston Polygamy Group, and it begins with this headline.
Kingston polygamous sect trafficked children. Violated federal labor laws, Utah lawsuit alleges. The 10 plaintiffs are all former members of the Kingston polygamous sect. 10 women have filed a federal racketeering lawsuit against the Kingston polygamous group sect, alleging the Kingstons trafficked women and children for decades while acting under the pretense of a religious community.
Wow. Now, this is a federal complaint.
For decades.
I find it interesting. Oh, yeah. This is a federal complaint. Now, historically, the state of Utah has aided and abetted polygamists by turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
They have rarely come to the aid of the abused and brainwashed women and children in polygamy groups. Utah has certainly had reason to prosecute the many crimes of abuse and incest, violation of labor laws and civil rights, and prosecution should have taken place years ago, but didn't. Hopefully, the federal court will do a better job with this lawsuit. And, of course, these are federal offenses. More from the article.
The federal complaint filed in Utah names nearly 50 defendants, including at least 14 members of the Kingston family, the Davis County Cooperative Society, and Vanguard Academy, a public charter school run by the sect. The filing also lists 450 unidentified businesses as defendants that the complaint states the sect operates. One defendant, South Salt Lake-based Standard Restaurant Supply, was cited by the federal government last year for violating child labor laws.
It just goes on and on, you know, just piled on top of each other. Now, legal counsel for the Kingston Group has not responded yet to the requests for information. Of course they didn't. They're very secretive, and they're probably scrambling to make sure that all their stories
straight
and denials agree with each other.
Yeah.
Now, the Kingston Group boasts of its own attorneys and accountants, so that prejudiced professional input is always available for them. However, they have also been known to use legal counsel by attorneys who are not part of the group. So it'll be interesting how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
We quote more from the article.
The federal complaint filed this week describes the plaintiffs as 10 young women who, from their earliest memories until their eventual escapes, were victims of economic and sexual crimes perpetrated by the Order, a criminal enterprise and polygamous religious sect. Some plaintiffs were forced to marry close relatives who beat and raped them, the complaint alleges. Others fled before the Order could lock them into similar marriages, it states.
Now, it's long been a practice of polygamists to marry off young underage girls to older men without the express consent of the minor child. A minor child cannot make an informed decision or a legal decision. The parents make it for her, and they call it free choice. Now, we've seen in the Warren Jeffs case and others that the girls are browbeaten into choosing to marry that man that has been chosen for them.
Amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're threatened with hell and damnation if they don't do God's will, and His will for their marriage is to that man. Not knowing any different idea of God, they capitulate, often under extreme duress and stress. More about the details of the lawsuit.
Of the 10 women, at least 4 appear to be closely related to the sex leader Paul Eldon Kingston. The filing details allegations of sexual abuse perpetrated by members of the sect against the plaintiffs, including incest. The suit lists 12 causes of action against the defendants, including 2 allegations of labor trafficking, 2 allegations of sex trafficking, violation of the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, and 2 violations of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO. And that's the end of that note.
Almost everyone who has been born in the Kingston group during the past 30 or 40 or maybe even 50 years are related to the Kingston family simply because they adopted a doctrine that each member must have the royal Kingston blood flowing through their veins, or they will not be eligible for God's highest heaven. So it's not surprising that at least 4 of the plaintiffs are related to the leader, Paul Kingston.
Yeah.
In fact, Paul himself is taking a few of his own half-sisters as plural wives and has had families with them. But no wonder their God had sex with their daughter to become pregnant with Jesus. Doctrine does affect behavior. More from the article.
The list continues with allegations of sexual battery and abuse of children, sexual battery and rape of adults, negligent sexual battery and abuse of a child, conversion, defined as when one intentionally deprives another of their money, and infliction of emotional distress. The complaint states that the plaintiffs don't intend to disparage the law, lawful religious aspects or beliefs of the order, noting that their allegations, including fraud, child abuse, kidnapping, child endangerment, and wage theft, are instead directed at the sect's unlawful religious and business practices.
Now, it's interesting they brought up the wage. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
It's talked about a lot by people who leave. Every conversation I've had with people who left, it's talked about.
That you have to share the wage.
that they don't get their wages. It's just phantom. They put it on a statement, and then but you don't get a check. You don't get your money. And again, I have to say that a person's beliefs will affect their practices. The complaint doesn't want to disparage, it said, he quoted, that they don't want to disparage the religious practices or aspects of the beliefs of the polygamy group, but they fall short of saying that almost everything they believe in and practice is illegal.
It's illegal.
So it needs to be disparaged.
Yeah.
But I think that's because courts can't rule on what is religiously true and untrue.
That
I think that's that's part of it. But their beliefs embrace polygamy. Well, that's illegal. So the courts can
work with that.
Yeah. Their beliefs embrace incest. That also is illegal, so certainly should be brought up. Their beliefs embrace many false religious doctrines which are not biblical, but they cannot be sustained or regulated by the laws of the land, obviously.
Right.
Now, people are free to believe what they want to believe, but they're not free to behave illegally as their beliefs may dictate them to do. Wage theft is mentioned in the long list of complaints. Wage theft has been part of the treatment of their members since I can remember. And that was a long time ago.
It's still going on.
It's still going on. It's even worse now than it was then. And then it was bad. And every former member that I have ever talked with who escaped the Kingston Kingdom has complained about their theft of wages. Fulfilling scripture that says this in 2 Timothy.
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 13. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived.
And they are deceivers.
Yeah.
They are huge, and they know they're deceiving. They deceive loyal members as well as local, state, and federal authorities. Now, I went to court a few years ago with one particular lady from this group. She escaped her polygamist husband. The judge knew he was a polygamist. The judge knew polygamy was illegal. He lied on the witness stand, and the judge knew it, yet the judge ruled in favor of the polygamous man, adding insult to injury for the woman who was trying to escape into a better life and provide a better life for her children. Gee. Something stacked somewhere for that to happen. Next, the lawsuit mentions their monstrous United Order practices, including bleeding the beast.
The order engages in a systemic and systematic pattern of unlawful activity designed to enrich certain order members at the expense of others and to grow the order's ranks by pushing girls and young women to have as many children as possible. The complaint states, adding that some of the plaintiffs began working for Kingston-owned businesses when they were as young as 4 years old. These children were also forced to commit crimes, the complaint alleges, including falsifying tax returns or destroying evidence. It also involves children in various business activities designed to bleed the beast, that is, in the words of the order, to defraud federal, state, and municipal government entities, the suit alleges.
They've covered a lot of good points here, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Now, you notice that the Kingston Polygamy Group is also referred to as the Order because it is called a United Order,
which
was something that bloomed up in Joseph Smith's head, and Brigham Young wanted to make it bloom even higher, but it always failed. And but the polygamist groups somehow have managed to keep it going, although it is not fair in any sense of the term to everyone involved. And we have stated on previous shows that the United Order of early Mormonism and of today's polygamy groups is nothing short of religious communism. That's
right,
really basically all it is. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, the living poverty level in the Kingston group is extreme in many cases. Every dime and dollar a person earns is automatically deposited into the order's own banking system, and money is available to use only as the leaders authorize their spending. When I was raised, we was raised on a farm in a house. Whenever the wind blew, the roof would go like this. We couldn't fix anything unless you could hammer it and nail it yourself, because you couldn't buy anything because you didn't have any money to buy anything to improve your living conditions.
You'd have to go to the leaders to get
if we needed
a nail
money,
or two or something.
Yeah, if we needed anything, we had to go to them and get permission. And if we said it was going to cost $25, they said you can get it for $20 and that's all you get, you know, or whatever. You know, that's just an example. But that's basically the way they operate and still do. One lady who had left the Kingston group, she opened up her bank account, first time she'd ever had a bank account and checks, you know, with her name on it kind of thing. And she was learning how to do life outside of the group. And she needed to get some money one day for cash for something. She went to, and she was scared. She was scared to go to the bank teller to get her own money. And she was, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to say it. And she got to the teller and she was nervous and she said, I need $20 or $25, whatever it was, and I need it. And she had a list of the things that she needed it for. And the bank teller just, it's your money. You can do with it whatever you want, you know. And that's just shows the difference.
The mentality.
Between the grooming and the brainwashing and the fear that they put in you. It's your money. You can do with it what you want, you know. She was really happy about that, of course. Now, bleeding the beast is another concept that we've discussed many, many times in the past, where the polygamy group believes in taking every resource they can possibly get by with from the federal government. This, of course, have led to several welfare and food stamp fraud cases, not just the Kingstons, but other polygamy groups have also been in the Warren Jeffs group was also in that as well. In reality, if you stop and think about it, every single taxpayer should be highly disturbed about their bleeding the beast tactics, because it's our taxpayer money that polygamists are stealing.
That's right.
It's our money. There's no government money. They get it from us. The Utah government publication that they printed several years ago that discusses Utah polygamists and their behavior and how to work with them is called The Primer. And from The Primer, we quote this.
Yeah, this is probably underlying the whole concept, their whole philosophy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Bleeding the beast clearly connects this term to fundamentalists who teach that bleeding the beast will assist God in destroying the evil United States government and is considered a righteous endeavor.
It is righteous to them,
to
do that. The more money they can get, the better off they are in God's eyes. Now, the Kingston Group flatly denies that they believe or practice bleeding the beast. But in reality, they're probably the worst offenders. Now, I often question when we do, bring out points like this, don't they believe their own Book of Mormon that says all liars will be thrust down to hell? Because they all deny they do the things they're doing, and yet they hold on to the Book of Mormon.
Lying for the Lord, I guess.
Okay, more about the lawsuit.
The complaint contends the defendant's conduct will either willful or was either willful or and malicious, intentional, or conduct that manifests a knowing and reckless indifference toward and disregard of each plaintiff's rights. The lawsuit seeks a number of damages to be proven at trial, including unpaid minimum wages and overtime wages, and general and punitive damages.
Now, the leaders of the Kingston Group are well aware of their double-dealing practices. They make the policies. They administer the policies. They determine how they cover their tracks. One former bookkeeper said off the record that they keep two sets of books.
Oh, boy.
One for the group and one for the government. Now, some time ago, we did a problem entitled Stealing Widows' Houses. The Kingstons are well known for doing that, taking money belonging to a widow, hiding it in their own corrupted accounting system, and leaving her very often with no place to live unless she can manage to find living space with one of her children. They claim they believe in Jesus, but Jesus condemned the stealing of widows' houses. One of the main themes of the Bible is that we watch out for and take care of widows and orphans. We quote.
Yeah, from Exodus 22:22, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. And from James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
And so again, we wonder if the polygamists are even aware of these or if they don't think it applies to them.
Probably not.
I really don't know where their thinking is at with this. The Kingston Group claims that their religion is based on the Golden Rule, which says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But they don't practice the Golden Rule. The Kingston Group does not obey God's command to take care of orphans and widows. Instead, they exploit them and take away their resources. The judge for the Kingston lawsuit has issued an order to propose a court schedule for their complaint. We look forward to seeing justice meted out to the Kingston Polygamy Group, their administrators, and child abusers. Now, as always, a newspaper article will have comments for the readers, and we want to share a couple of those comments from the readers of this article.
The powers that be were complicit in allowing the abuses in polygamous communities against children. They knew what was going on and for reasons of their own did nothing. There are still polygamous compounds in Utah with zero regulations or laws being enforced to protect the children trapped in them.
And this is so true.
It is true.
It's just true. The abuse doesn't stop. The polygamy doesn't stop. One person who escaped made mention of the many payoffs by the leadership to keep from being taken to court. But God has a court where judgment will be based on truth and righteousness, and no one can bribe that judge.
That'll be a refreshing moment, won't it?
Yes.
This was going on while our Attorney General, Sean Reyes, did nothing about this. Despite several complaints I saw posted on the Tribune, Reyes got donations of around $50,000 from the Kingstons that he never returned.
It's true. And Reyes initially claimed that he put the money in escrow with the intent to return it, but he didn't return it. And when asked about it, he said, well, everyone else does it. Our next comment.
The Quorum of the Twelve, Q12, will be paralyzed trying to figure out whether they want to confirm or deny that Mormon Jesus is a polygamist.
I kind of thought that was interesting because the LDS Church denies polygamists. today's polygamists have the authority and the blessing to continue with Joseph Smith's command to practice plural marriage. But as one of their own said a few years ago, the church still believes in polygamy. They just don't practice it for now.
For now.
Yes, the early Mormon polygamists taught, and today's polygamists teach, that Jesus had plural wives. Orson Pratt even said that his polygamy is why Jesus was crucified. Such nonsense. There hasn't been much reported by other news sources on this lawsuit against the Kingstons yet. We wonder why. Yeah. I looked and no other, I just didn't see, of course I don't see every single news paper in the country, but there's very little mentioned about this. But as more information comes to light, we'll keep our viewers informed. And we do pray that God's justice will be accomplished and that it will override man's injustice on this.
Very interesting stuff.
So we'll see what happens with this. It's going to be a while before this thing comes to court,
I'm sure. And you were talking about all the negatives of polygamy, and we just almost never hear anything positive. Yeah, it's just sad. When people can finally escape, then we really get the information.
When they can be released from the bondage of their false doctrine that God commanded it.
Then we really hear what's going
on. Right. Thanks, Earl.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, Brigham Young taught that the governments of the earth were false governments and should be overthrown. That God delegated only to the Mormons the priesthood right to set up a government. It's that belief that has led polygamy groups into the notion that they must bleed the beast, that, and among other things. But the Bible tells us that God has set up governing authority for every nation and has commanded his people to live at peace with and obey the governing authorities. Utah's constitution prohibits polygamy. Tax evasion is illegal, and welfare fraud along with incest, marriage of minor children, and so on, all illegal. We wonder why Mormonism claims they believe in and follow Jesus, but they don't believe or obey what he taught. God has made it simple, even to the smallest child, to know how to get into heaven. Grace is simple to understand, yet the most difficult for religious people to submit to. We urge our viewers, learn of, and then submit to God's grace. You'll never regret it. Thank you for watching.
This has been the audio podcast of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. Polygamy, What Love Is This? Is produced by A Shield and Refuge Ministry. More information on this program, including the video version of it, can be found at whatloveisthis.tv. If you have any questions or need help getting free from Mormon fundamentalism, write us at contact@shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 1-800-877-425-9993.